Hi and welcome to Last Man Standing here with me, Paul Stevenson, live on Republic Broadcasting Network. You're very welcome here today on this Saturday, the 12th of August, 2023. Coming live here from the UK. I hope you're all well there across the pond where the majority of you fine American listeners are. And of course, we've got listeners all across the world as well, but I think, you know, including here in the UK and Europe, but I think most of you are obviously in the United States. So anyway, very welcome. It's 4 p.m. here in the afternoon, Saturday. I'm having problems actually opening the Republic Broadcasting. There it is. I should know these numbers off the top of my head, but of course, do support us. You can donate by mail to RBN and send money orders or checks payable to RBN, 2251 Double Creek Drive, 302 Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Of course, if you go to the homepage, you'll see the various donate options there. You can pay by card. You can donate by phoning in as well on 800-724-2719, extension 3. That's 800-724-2719. And as ever, with this slot, as opposed to the late Sunday night slot, it's much easier for you to call in and participate in the show. And that's always fun, and I welcome that. And if you want to call in, you can do that on 512-248-8252 or on toll-free on 800-313-9443. That's 800-313-9443. And again, those numbers and all those details I've just given out are on the Republic Broadcasting Network website. Just type in Republic Broadcasting Network and you'll be privy to all that info that I've just given you. All right, well, where do we start? I think we'll start with what's happening in Africa, because like I said before, I commented on Richard's show during the week that you know, this war with Russia and Ukraine, which is essentially Russia and US-led NATO war, is escalating and sort of down there in Africa. It's a proxy war, really, between particularly in NATO, France and the USA. But it warmed my heart that Victoria Nuland was over there attempting to throw her weight around and threaten the those in Niger. She went over there to see the ousted previous leader, Mohamed Bazoum, and was refused access to him. And, of course, there were threats for this, that, and the other, financial, military, aid, etc. And recently, ECOWAS, which is like a kind of a, it seems like it's a kind of an sort of an African European Union type thing in a way. It's a conglomerate of West African nations, which are for the most part Western puppets. Niger, they're not having any of it because there was an initial deadline which expired last Sunday for them to return. This is like a threat from ECOWAS. To return to the previous status quo with Mohamed Bazoum to be reinstated. As I mentioned before, one of the reasons, not the only reason, but one of the reasons that they got rid of him is because he's an Arab. Perhaps we should take a leaf out of those in Niger's book, because we've got a half Indian, half African, I think. It's usually a combination of the two, prime minister. We've got the mayor of London is from Pakistan, and the only reason he is because you've got these metropolitan, so-called progressive middle class and upper middle class types who vote these people in simply because they're brown, in the sake of Sadiq Khan in London. We've got the same thing. We've got a foreign Home Secretary, second generation Home Secretary. These people, their parents came here in the 60s and sometimes even in the 70s or the 80s, and their children are now in leading posts in the government. No surprise that particularly the Home Secretary is responsible for immigration, which is an absolute farce over here. I'll get to that later if we've got time. There's massive controversy over here, but we've now reached a point where we've got 100,000 immigrants have come in here illegally, you know, asylum seekers coming across by, you know, across the English Channel from France. And we pay the French a lot of money to stop this, but the French have taken the money and do very little or nothing, because they've just kept coming. Because we're a magnet for them. And this is an incredible frustration to the vast majority of the British people. Because it's a threat to the identity of the country, and it's a national security threat. We don't know who these people are. A lot of them are actually Albanians. They throw their documents in the, you know, away before they get here. So no one knows where they're from, and they do that deliberately so they can't be identified as coming from countries which are not fleeing persecution. These people are, they all, and of course the apologists and the leftist lawyers who make a fortune out of these people, and the usual suspects in the Labour Party and also in the government, and NGOs and charities like Care for Cali and all these far left organizations who are hell bent on destroying the identity of this country. They are always pushing for this, and they like to tell us that they're all fleeing persecution and political persecution and torture and all the rest of it. Instead of pile of nonsense, there's a big scam over here that many of us knew that was going on anyway, but is recently exposed, that is endemic among big law firms over here, who basically tell these people, if they don't already know what to say, they tell them what they need to say so they can stay here and avoid deportation. They can say things like, you know, I was fleeing persecution, I was tortured, you know, I was persecuted because I, you know, I was homosexual, I was imprisoned, I was tortured by Islamic extremists, and blah blah blah. So they just make stuff up and tick all the boxes as to why these people should come here. I mean, I personally think this whole post-World War II idea of signing up to the European Court of Human Rights and all that, there is talk about now that we're going to be leaving that, but at this stage it is very much talk, because it's perfectly obvious that the will is not there. I mean, these politicians are so bought and paid for that they will ignore this problem or masquerade as attempting to do something about it, all the while the people just keep coming, to the point that they'll sacrifice their political careers. But they're not really, because they're doing the bidding of larger nefarious forces, many of them Jewish groups that we know about when it comes to immigration, who lobby our politicians. And then they go on to bigger and better things, you know, if they vote for mass immigration and they vote for increasing socialist policies, and they push to support things like Ukraine and COVID and blah blah blah, the more destruction they cause, the better the jobs they're going to go to after. They'll end up working in some senior job at the UN or in the World Health Organization or any of these international bodies that no one votes for, that want to control our lives. So they certainly, looking at the evidence, if you go by the scriptures, you will know them by their fruits. The fruits are that this country has essentially invited a demographic dirty bomb on the country to the point that it's irrevocable, and the identity of the country has been sacrificed. And I don't want to be here anymore. I'm planning an escape out of the place, because it's like, what can you do, you know, unless you take up arms, you know, and actually, but, you know, you're guaranteeing you're going to be in prison for the rest of your life. So a lot of people just leave, because our hands are tied. It doesn't matter how much noise we make, how much we vent our frustrations, how much the government say they're listening and they're going to do X, Y, and Z. Nothing happens. The only thing that happens is we have more people coming. That's always the result. So we've now got officially 100,000 of these people. This is just illegal immigration. These are just people who are coming across the channel through, you know, illegal routes into the country, and then once they get here, they have to be processed, and at the expense of the taxpayer, they're put up in hotels. They get free health care, they get some cash every week. If they're pregnant women, they get extra money. So again, this is just incentivizing these people. You know, it's like, if you're a pregnant woman, you can get an extra £300 coming here. So if you're pregnant, you're going to think, okay, well, let's get pregnant and let's go there and we can get extra money. I mean, we literally just invite these people. We may as well, as Nigel Farage said, we should just have like a big sign on the White Cliffs of Dover, which will greet you there, you know, in the main route from Calais to Dover. We should just put a big sign up there saying, everyone welcome, please come. Because we do the opposite of any kind of deterrent. We make it so attractive for people to come here. In fact, this morning, there were 6 people who lost their lives, you know, coming across the channel. Because the seas are a bit choppy at the minute. And quite frankly, not that nobody wants to see anyone dying. And, you know, if you're these people and you're coming from some crappy place, sure, you're going to want to come here. Our government are the problem. Our immigration policies are the problem. We just have complete open borders for the most part. As I say, they come across here, they know it's illegal. And it's, you know, it's hard to have that much sympathy for people when they're committing it. You know, their very act of coming here is an illegal act. But the way our system works is, doesn't matter. Most of them get to stay here anyway. Because the whole game is that it is deliberate. But if you say that, no, you're a conspiracy theorist, whatever, this is all just has to go down to incompetence. Nobody could be that stupid. You know, if the will was there, this problem would be solved. You would actually send your military to the border and let them know you're going to be not picked up by our border force and given warm coats to wear and, you know, candy bars. And then you give them details of where, you know, then they pick them up and then they take them to these hotels to, in quotes, process them. And most of them are still here for the rest of their lives. It's a tiny percentage of people get sent back. And even, you know, well-meaning people, they say, well, you know, if they're coming from Iraq or Syria or Libya or any of the other places that, you know, the United States basically invaded, well, you know, those people are legitimate, you know, and but, you know, I disagree with that as well. We've got to draw the line in that too, you know, because at the end of the day, why should the UK and Europe suffer on top of all the other people that have suffered in the Middle East and Africa because of these wars? Because that's what happens. These people end up being funneled up into, and the Israelis are very guilty of this as well, NGO groups telling them what to say. And, of course, they're guilty of participating. In fact, these wars in the Middle East are fought for Israel, and then these scumbags then channel them up into Europe. They're not taking any of them. But there's so many wars over the last 25 years. I think this whole trend, this whole stuff started because of the Jews fleeing persecution from the Nazis. This is the narrative after World War II. It was never intended for basically the whole global South to just pile into Europe, and that's what's happened. So, no, sorry, but we all have our problems. If you're suffering political persecution, well, go to jail then, or else shut your mouth or do something else. But, you know, the answer to everything that goes wrong in these third world countries is come to Europe and the UK. You know, we don't call it political persecution here, but I know people who are in prison because they've, quote, said things negatively about Jews. That is political. Those are political prisoners. We just don't call them political prisoners. So where do we go when we're being persecuted? Is there legislation out there? Is there international legislation that if people in the white European countries are suffering persecution that they can go to wherever? I don't think so. The assumption is that basically everybody in these countries who are suffering economically and from whatever, we are guilty of participating in those wars and causing a lot of those people. But no, you have to draw a line somewhere. And you have to say, sorry, this legislation is not fit for purpose. It's out of date and was never intended for this. And this country is losing its identity. We've got to shut our borders. Go somewhere else. You know, why should people from Iran and Iraq and Africa always end up in Europe? Sure, there are plenty of them go to other places too, but those places are where they should go. Somewhere closer geographically, culturally, with their language. They've got nothing in common with us, and the vast majority of people don't want them here. They don't want them to come to any harm, but we can't just, quote, rescue the whole world. We've got enough problems of our own. We're housing these people, and there's a housing crisis in the country already. And you're not even allowed, nobody even mentioned, everyone has to tiptoe around it. Well, we got to protect these, you know, these poor people are dying and when they're crossing the channels, which is a tragedy. But it's our policies that are causing it. And people are so intimidated after decades of menticide, like a mass menticide, I guess, against us from affirming that it's okay to affirm your identity and wanting to keep the actual national identity of your country that your forefathers and your ancestors, in most part, shed their blood to establish. But we don't. People on sort of semi-right-wing channels over here, like Farage and stuff, they'll talk about, oh, you know, they have to tiptoe around it. Oh, this is a tragedy. These people are dying. We got to stop the people smugglers. Nobody ever really wants to say we don't want these people here. The country's losing its identity. And we don't want it to be full of Muslims, and we don't want it to be full of Africans, because they don't belong here any more than the equivalent numbers of white Europeans would not be accepted, and it would not be tolerated, and it would never happen if the shoe was on the other foot and the traffic was going the other way, because they have borders. And these people around the world are genuinely what we get called as racist. Now, whether you say they're racist or not, well, I don't think so. They just want to protect their borders and their national, their identity and their culture. Let's face it, the reality is race, religion, culture, language, ethnicity, it matters. Now we need to just say it matters, not be apologizing for it every 5 minutes. Okay, we're back on the other side. You call in. Love to hear from you.
I'm so excited to have you as part of the Wild Pastures family, and we look forward to bringing you the pasture-raised meats that you and your family will love. Now, we started Wild Pastures because so many of my clients would tell me they just couldn't find high-quality pasture-raised meats, and even when they did, it was so expensive that they couldn't afford to eat it regularly. Now, I'm not talking about the bottom-of-the-barrel healthy meats that have claims like natural or free-range or even cage-free, terms that were actually created by the industrial food industry to make us feel all warm and fuzzy about buying their low quality products. I'm talking about truly nourishing pasture-raised meats, the kind that you'll never really find in a grocery store. Our farmers are doing things beyond organic. Our beef is 100% grass-fed and grass-finished and raised on pastures free from chemicals and other pesticides. Our chickens are 100% pasture-raised, where they get their natural diet of grass and forage and insects. We will never settle for free range, which is actually one of the most deceptive terms in the chicken industry. In fact, less than 0.1% of the chicken consumed in the United States is truly pasture-raised in the way that ours is. And our pork is 100% pasture-raised as well. So if you care about where your food comes from, then you have definitely made it to the right place. As a Wild Pastures member, you'll be supporting the most highly principled farmers in America and getting the most nutrient-dense, nourishing, and sustainable meats in the world. I'm confident you'll love being part of our mission at Wild Pastures, and you will really love the delicious, nourishing meats that we're going to deliver straight to your door.
Visit republicbroadcasting.org and click the Wild Pastures banner ad. Secure a shipment today. Beef, poultry, and pork raised the way nature intended.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
What was that sound?
welcome back to Last Man Standing here with me, Paul Stevenson, on RBN on this Saturday, the 12th of August. Do call in. Love to hear from you. The number is 800. It's toll-free 800-313-9443. That's 800-313-9443. So, yes, you know, religion, race, ethnicity, culture, language, these things matter. That's what nations are founded on. And it takes them centuries to be established, most of the time through great turmoil and bloodshed. And then we just throw them all away because what? We got a bunch of Jewish organizations who are hell-bent on lobbying our politicians and destroying Europe, which they've done largely. Because demographics are the biggest threat that you will face. Bigger than a war, in fact. You recover quicker from a war than the sort of demographic shifts we've seen in this country, in Europe, in the last 20, 30, 40 years. The sheer speed of it and the sheer scale of it is just overwhelming. Most people, I don't know, they just, you know. And, of course, then you get the phenomenon of white flight, obviously, because it's natural. People want to be around their own people. That's like, you don't get people integrating in those sorts of numbers, even if you wanted them to integrate. You get some of them integrating, but essentially in England you have a series of ghettos in the big cities and things like that. You have all the groups who come from their own various places all stick together. It's perfectly normal. So you just get little versions of Indian villages and little versions of Pakistani villages, and the Muslims all stay together and blah, blah, blah. The Albanians stay together, and eventually you have some places where all the white people flood to, out of the big cities like London, etc. You know, I'm in full-on white flight mode myself at the moment because I don't know, I'm thinking maybe Italy or Hungary. Hungary's got borders, and the north of Italy still is largely, compared to London, it's just normal. Anyway, I digressed because I was talking about, you know, in Niger, for example, they're unapologetic that one of the reasons they want to get rid of that leader was because he's not from Niger. Not even that he's not African, because there's lots of ethnic tensions and wars in Africa. But he's not even from the continent, so that's one of the reasons they want to get rid of him. So we'll continue on that story in a minute, but we've got Daryl on the line. Daryl from Canada. Go ahead, Daryl. I've been already guilty of digressing into an almighty rant, but go ahead, Daryl.
here, Paul, yeah. Good rant. That was good, yeah. I'll get to another country you might want to go to in a few minutes, but Nigel Farage, I mean, he's, I don't know if you listened to the last show in RBN era, Tony in Chicago, he's an activist, he does activism and tries to wake people up to the kind of things you're talking about in Chicago, Florida, other places. He's kind of given up. I don't know, Nigel Farage, I don't see him doing much activism anymore either. I mean, I kind of understand both of them because it's just demoralizing because, they spend their time and their money and then nothing changes. Matter of fact, it only gets worse, the kind of things that you're talking about.
Yeah, it does always get worse. I mean, Farage, in fairness to him, was one of the ones that exposed what's happened on the channel. He took the cameras down there of a new station, which has opened in GB News, in 2020, in the spring of 2020, and filmed the amount of people coming over there, because the government knows about all these things, right? They know about these dodgy lawyers. They have to know about this. This is a systemic problem within these kind of legal firms who are making a lot of money of telling these immigrants what they need to say so they won't get deported and what advantages and benefits they can get. They get those automatically anyway, why they're being processed. But it always takes someone to expose it. Like the channel, the sheer scale of the amount of immigrants coming across the channel illegally. And then it took him to expose the... it looks like there's up to 1 million people in this country have had their bank accounts closed because they got the wrong political views.
Wow.
Yeah, exactly. But it takes Farage to expose this, before the government even respond to it, let alone try and act. But you're not telling me they don't know about it. Of course they know about it. These bankers and these big firms are people that they have dinner with. It's all a big club. They know these big law firms. They're dealing with them all the time in the Home Office. You're not telling me they don't know about these things. Of course they know. And they allow it to continue. So the governments are basically a fifth column. And you have to expose everything and cause mass outrage to even get a response from them. And then they just drag their heels and they always blame incompetence. Meanwhile, the people just keep coming and they keep coming, they keep coming year in, day out. There's like 400 or 500 of these people come across every day. There was the seas are a bit choppy. There was 6 of them died today. It's a tragedy, but it's our fault. And at the end of the day, it's their own fault. Because let's face it, you know, if you're going to try and cross from Calais, which normally normal people would get a ferry across there, they're not going to go across in the dinghy. Now, you could say, oh, it's a sign that they're desperate. Well, maybe. But if you die, you know you're taking a risk. So there's a limit to my sympathy for them, because I wouldn't do it. Much wiser than me. Darrell, we'll hold you over to the other side. Screaming out.
And it's so much bigger than me. It's screaming out.
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Here's some interesting news. Due to all the recent claims about possible nuclear wars, viruses, solar flares, and civil unrest, people are scrambling to prepare and stockpile food. But the one thing out of reach for many is an underground bunker. Until now. Because you can now have a 3D printed underground bunker in just one day. An excavator digs a hole in your backyard, and 3DBunkers.com shows up in a small truck and sets up their 3D printer under a tent completely undetected. They can print as many rooms as you want at a fraction of the cost compared to traditional metal bunkers. 3D Bunkers uses polymer concrete, which is 5 times stronger than regular cement. YouTube 3DBunkers.com and watch the video. The creators of 3D Bunkers is looking for a business partner that can help bring this technology to the world. And we need to protect our way of life without living in fear. Contact Brad at 3DBunkers.com for more details, or visit 3DBunkers.com.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what some people have to say.
Several years ago, I was developing a very severe situation. I called it my flippy heart. It was doing not good things. And I did not want to go to a medical doctor because I just knew they would give me a cover-up pill. I didn't want to get onto that sort of thing at all. When I learned it was garlic and cayenne, and cayenne is a healer. It is a wonderful herb. I said, I think I'm onto something here. I'll tell you, I wouldn't be without it. It did wonderful things for me.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid. Call now. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names: Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's GORBN.
Thank you.
welcome back here to Last Man Standing on this Saturday, the 12th of August. It's 4:30 p.m. here in the UK, so it's what, 10:30 Central Time, 11:30 Eastern Time, if I'm correct. Anyway, Daryl, sorry for interrupting you. Go ahead, sir.
No, you mentioned the bankers and, yeah, the government are in cahoots, the cabal. I mean, I'm sure they're... Sure, the bankers, they're always well represented at those Bilderberg annual meetings where they get their marching orders. So I think this is all, you know, part of that. You know, you talk about people getting instructions. That's what's happening on the southern border, too. They get these instructions. The United States has a treaty not to allow Mexicans across the border, but they do, like you say, the same thing. They'll just throw their documents away in the Rio Grande before they... You could see there's films of the... There's clips of these... On the Mexican side, there's just tons of documents from every country, including lots of Mexicans' documents. They just throw them away, and they just claim they're from a country that's acceptable to the country that they're that's hosting them. It's just a big scam. I mean, the Mexicans coming or others are coming up even into Canada between ports, and you see the RCMP up here helping them with their luggage and everything. I mean, it's like you can't win. Just can't win. These people are just going to come, and nobody's going to stop them. I don't know what it would take. There's nothing it will take. Almost, you know, it's like when a team is leading, you know, 5-0 in a soccer match with 5 minutes left. You have to accept you're lost. You've lost. We've lost.
Yeah, because our hands are tied, and because of this legislation, because of this whole these type of things that we signed up to. You know, it ultimately amounts to essentially not having borders, because you now have a situation where people can just throw away their documentation, come into the country, and then they have to be, in quotes, processed, which basically means, and this is what the government says, probably a lot more, it costs the UK taxpayer £6 million per day to house these people. They're in four-star hotels, and then they complain about those as well. I mean... You get all sorts of these NGO groups complaining that their conditions are not humane enough, and apparently they're fleeing persecution and torture and all sorts of horrendous things. And yet, one of the complaints over here was that the Wi-Fi wasn't good enough. I mean, you know, this is how much they. I mean, there's a saying over here. It's like you're taking the piss. I mean, it means that, you know, this is abject, taking advantage of and just rubbing your nose in it. If you are genuinely locked up in some prison and been beaten and starving and everything else, well, if you've got security and you're not suffering that anymore, I mean, these people are put up, their meals are paid for, their meals are made for them, they get extra cash. If they're pregnant, they get extra money. They get free dental care, free doctors. This is all a strain on the NHS at a time when there's a huge backlog, which was even exacerbated because of this COVID lie and this wealth transfer and this poisoning exercise that went on with COVID, and yet they complain, and these people with straight faces say, oh, the conditions aren't humane enough, the Wi-Fi is not good enough, there's four of them in one room. Well, I'm sorry, but again, if you're really genuinely, you know, fleeing torture, well, aren't you just over the moon that you reached a safe country and you're safe? First of all, you've got a roof over your head, your meals are cooked for you. The conditions are actually better than a lot of the people in this country actually live in. There's actually people of the native population who live in squalor, and they are just left behind, forgotten about, because they are the wrong demographic. They are the native population. So screw you, Mr. White Man, Mr. White Woman, or Mr. Christian.
Yeah, you see a lot of the UK retirees out on the street and stuff like that, or living in just squalor,
yeah.
And this is happening. Like you say, it's a magnet. I mean, I'm sure these people that are living in all these wonderful things that you just talked about, they're sending back messages to the people across in France or back home or wherever to, and they're probably eventually going to sponsor them and bring them in. I mean, I know that the figures here in the United States is for every alien that comes in illegally, it's 10 to 1. $10 spent for every one given back in a lifetime. So, I mean, it's a huge burden on society in so many different ways. It's just incredible. I got one last thing
insane
to say, but if you want to respond to that, Paul.
Yeah, so what were you going to say about where I should move to? Because I mentioned Hungary or Italy.
Well, look into Uruguay. It's
Uruguay.
The richest, it's the best South American country. It's way down South America in the south near... near Argentina and Chile. It's 85% white, speaks Spanish. A lot of people speak English there. They're about to become a BRICS country. Not to mention, you're in a good location for if there's ever a conflict. If you're in a you're in a much better location than you would be in Hungary. If there is any type of an exchange type of thing, you can get your open your bank account there, get your documents in order, and you know, they got a nice city. It's about 3 million people there. Montevideo is about 1 million people. It's right on the coast, and it's quite attractive if you look into it, Paul. I would strongly look into that. I'm looking into that myself.
All right, Darrell, I'll take it on board. Listen, I'm going to go to some other calls, but thanks for calling. We've got Dan in Washington and Vinny in Indiana.
Okay.
And Tom in Florida. So, thank you, Darrell. So we'll try and get to everybody. Go ahead, Dan in Washington.
Yeah, thanks, Darrell. I'm going to look into Uruguay myself. I was looking into Argentina, but it seems like a mess, but Uruguay...
We should all get a group of us. We should all just move to a village and just take it over like the Muslims do in London.
Right. Yeah, I was reading about an artist in America during World War II named Ezra Pound. I don't know if you...
Ezra Pound. Yeah. He was... Ezra Pound mentored... what's his name? I've got loads of his books up there. He mentored... you'll probably... Eustace Mullins. You know Eustace Mullins? He was one of the first whistleblowers, really, about the New World Order and the Jewish thing as well, you know?
Yeah, I'm just learning about. I'll look into him. I've heard the name. I read about Ezra Pound.
He wrote the book the World Order, and he wrote the book called The Secrets of the Federal Reserve, which are like, you know, you have to read them. It's what's the word? It's must read material for sort of foundational stuff, you know.
Yeah. He grew up in he was born in Idaho, and then he moved to New York, and then he ended up moving to Italy. And even during World War II or before the war, he said England was basically the English for slaves to Jews, and he ended up moving to Italy and working with the Axis powers as a radio like propagandist. And then
he was a political prisoner. He was in prison when it was Ezra Pound. Eustace Mullins visited him in prison, and he commissioned Eustace Mullins to look into the Federal Reserve, which he then ended up doing extensively and wrote the book Secrets of the Federal Reserve. It's very, very illuminating, that book.
If you look on the Wikipedia, it's really funny because I read about all of Ezra Pound's life, and then at the very end, there's this Jew that went and visited him when he was, like, almost dying, and Ginsburg. And it's got a picture of Ginsburg's face, and Ginsburg comes out and says, oh, he regretted everything he ever said about anti-Semitism. But if you look at Ginsburg's face, you're like, you don't trust that guy. But anyway, you know, it's just interesting that even back then they started shipping in migrants into England. As soon as they so-called won the war, the English people actually kind of lost the war.
Big time.
You got the Dalai Lama. Actually, the Dalai Lama is the only one that defended Germany, the German race, and the English race. He was given an interview to some Indian, English-born Indian girl who was saying, I'm as English as anybody. And he just laughed at her face. I don't know if you saw that interview. But,
Well, look.
This is
symptomatic of the insanity of this, because if I went to China and had two white children, and my white children were saying, "I'm as Chinese as you, Mr. Chang," well, Mr. Chang would laugh in your face openly, and he wouldn't apologize for it, and he wouldn't get into any trouble for it either.
Exactly. So you are kind of in a mess. I don't know what's going to happen with. Because the way Russia calls out the Anglo-Saxon elite, you might have to move to the continent or look at Uruguay. Because
The problem with places to move into Uruguay is because I've got a son here, and also my mother's fairly elderly. And you know, if I was even to live in America and there was some emergency, it's not so easy to come back. I've got a brother in San Francisco, you know, and it's a bit of a nightmare if he has to come back quickly. It's like, it's not that easy just to book a flight for tomorrow morning and get on it and come back. Whereas if you're in Europe, you know, you can be 90 minutes from Heathrow, you know? But
what
then,
about
but
Ireland?
Then Europe doesn't.
Ireland's are getting mad.
Ireland's got a massive problem with immigration too. And guess what? As far as I remember, the Irish didn't have the they didn't have colonialism. They didn't go around like the British Empire or the Dutch Empire or any of these other empires, and we all get blamed that we've had it coming. It's payback time. But you know, all the European countries are suffering the same thing, including Ireland. And Ireland, as I say, minded its own business. Was never going around, you know, enslaving anybody or, you know, indulging in imperialism. But, you know, Ireland's under massive threat as well. So, and also, there's a lot of silly progressives in Ireland too, you know. It's like this is a it's a whole disease right across the whole European continent for every sensible person that sees what's going on as a tragedy and a threat. You got all these other people who are completely the opposite. Immigrants, welcome. We love you. We're against racism. Say no to anti-Semitism. And you've got about half of your own population. You're absolute morons.
Yeah, they'll never wake up until they're like a minority, and then they'll move away. Well, and they won't admit it because it's race. You know, they'll say it's
it's like a religion. It's like their religion. You know, you secularize the nation. And so a lot of the time it's like white, well-to-do women who basically, you know, sort of this is like it's a moral crusade for them to go around the world. If they haven't got children, which many of them don't have because they're sterilized or brainwashed out of it, then they want to go and sort of, you know, impose their and express their maternal instincts on a bunch of Africans and Arabs.
They're like a cancer cell on Western civilization. I told this one girl I knew in college, I said, you're nothing but a cancer cell on your own race. Basically,
well, they are. It's like a virus. You know, it is like a fucking virus. Excuse my language. Listen, I'm going to go on to Vinny because we're running out of time, Dan. But thanks for calling. So I'll speak to you soon. Go ahead, Vinny in Indiana.
You know, hello, Edward. I think you know your previous caller. The same scam that's been happening in North America, you know, with Central American refugees or whatever, they're recruited. I mean, the big Jewish NGOs, you know, the guys at Fashion Nation covered this, they go down there and they recruit them to come to the U.S. And that same thing's been happening in Africa ever since NATO and the U.S. overthrew Gaddafi. Gaddafi wanted to set up a currency, gold and precious minerals and, you know, uranium, all these things. Other African countries, they'd all get together, they'd have their own currency, it'd be a solid currency, they wouldn't be taking on debt from European countries, you know, Jewish bankers, they wouldn't, you know, and they overthrew Gaddafi. Then, you know, Libya's been a nightmare, and now you have a direct path for, you know, they go in and they recruit Africans from deep into sub-Saharan Africa to go up through Libya, into Tunis, get on the boats. The Jewish NGOs set them all up, and they bring them right to Europe. They tell them where they can go to get the best gibs, and then they get the money.
That's
back.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And there's a big problem with ISIS there that the West backed and funded, and they basically took over Libya, and there's a massive amount of human trafficking going on there. And it's just a mess.
Don't you think ISIS in these African countries is part of the scam where just with ISIS was being funded by the Israelis and the CIA, you have some of these radical Islamic groups being set up because they keep these African countries on edge. They have to get into debt to buy weapons to fight them. You know, they get into debt and they make money on the debt.
For the most part, it's a CIA operation and a Mossad operation, and it's in no small part the root of these problems that are happening in Africa at the minute. And the Russians are stepping in because, you know, the U.S. and NATO pretend they're fighting ISIS, but we are the ones that created ISIS and armed them and fund them, and it's the same in Syria. The only people who are fighting ISIS are Russia and the Wagner Group.
Yeah, and if Russia could end the Libyan civil war and get back to where Libya was on track 15 years ago, you know, these African countries would be so much better off. All these countries that have gold and lithium and uranium, they would be so much better on a solid currency backed by China and Russia. If you ended the crisis in Libya, NATO would be humiliated because NATO has done nothing to protect Europe from this invasion. NATO's a joke.
No, and it's very encouraging what's happening there because the Nigerians, they have the support of the Russians. Publicly, the Russians have condemned the coup, but they are going to align with them. They have aligned with them. And you're going to see Russia cleaning up Africa as well. And I hope, like you said, undo a lot of the damage that they've done there in Libya, because the Wagner Group and the Russians need to go into and clean up Libya and stabilize Africa. And these other nations realize that. So they are saying no to Victoria Nuland. And so you've got Russia checkmating them, not only in Ukraine, but they're now checkmating them in Africa. So, but thank you very much, Vinny. I'm going to go on to Tom in Florida because we're running out of time. Thank you. Go ahead, Tom.
Hello, good day, Paul.
Hey, Tom.
Hello? Yeah, can you
hear
me?
Yes, mate, go ahead. Yeah.
Yeah, good day. Good day to you, sir. Good day. Listen,
good day to you.
To Daryl's point, Daryl's talking about Uruguay. You don't have to go to Uruguay, Paul. You can go to Montana. Montana's 99%, basically 95% white. So you can go to the state of Montana. They have hardly any speed limit on their turnpikes and highways. So yeah, think about Montana. It's a great state.
Okay.
Big sky country. Now, and there's a lot of.
Where is that? Is that near? Is that over near Utah?
Yeah.
In Colorado,
Montana
direction.
Yes, Montana is the state you might want to look at if you come to America, because it is over 95% white, and there's a bunch of
where
of good
are you? You're in Florida,
not
Tom.
Play
yeah.
Games. Yeah, I'm in Florida. I got family in Montana.
What's Florida? Well, you've got a lot of Cubans and stuff coming up there, have you?
No. This is all Cubans. This is all Cubans. They've taken over. I'll give you an example. They've taken over. They didn't come here to compliment. They came to eat your lunch and take their job. Paul, they came to eat your lunch and take their job. That's what all these illegals are doing.
Tom, I'll hold you over. Stay over. We're going to the break. I'll hold you over for the last segment.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org, smash that donate button like Russian peacekeepers smashing through the Azov neo-Nazi terrorists in the Donbass.
I don't think you can explain politics without looking at Jewish power any more than you can explain physics without dealing with gravity.
9/11 was a jointly conducted covert operation that involved multiple states, the Saudis, the Israelis, and what you could call the deep state in the United
with
States.
With anti-Semitic remarks.
yeah, you're jiggling juice, we used to say, the dancing Israelis.
So even the Republicans now are compromising, and they're pushing issues that are destructive to the white race.
They would always say, like, are we just going to talk about this stuff on the radio? What are we going to do about it?
Either we force the democracy to work by actually getting the ballot access, getting the candidates, getting in office, getting our message out there to the people, or we expose just how undemocratic it is.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
Antelope Hill Publishing is America's leading publisher of dissident books, bringing you a wide variety of new translations and original works on every subject, from the funding behind the transgender movement to firsthand memoirs of World War II previously inaccessible to English-speaking audiences. We publish books that mainstream publishers won't touch, full of information that challenges the political status quo. Whether you count yourself as a political dissident, student of history, connoisseur of philosophy, or enthusiast of exciting and thought-provoking fiction, you owe it to yourself to check out our catalog. With exclusive offerings like The Transgender Industrial Complex, Solzhenitsyn and the Right, The Open Society Playbook, Opioids for the Masses, and many more, there's something for everyone, and new titles are added every month. Check out our catalog today at antelopehillpublishing.com and use code RBNReaders2023 for 10% off your order. That's RBNReaders2023 at antelopehillpublishing.com.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.
And welcome back. That little tune was by an Irish folk band called the Fury Brothers. Absolutely beautiful music. That song's called Sweet 16. It's a real tragedy what's happening in Ireland as well. I mean, it's bad over there too. Anyway, go ahead, Tom.
Yeah, listen, Montana's a state you might want to look at. There's a couple other states that are pretty white, but you can't go to Vermont. They're 99% white, but they're all a bunch of liberal retards over there. But here's Paul. We got to go back to the talk. Daryl. I want to go back to Daryl. Daryl said something that I have to kind of. I agree with most of his call, but I have to disagree with him. And there's a soccer match, and there's 5 minutes left in the game. Another team scores, and it ties up the score. What happens? What do you do when you have tie score and it goes into overtime? What's it called? It's called a shootout.
Well, overtime is it? Oh, shootout.
No, it's called a shootout. They have a shootout.
Well, you're
so that's what's
going
to end up happening here, because you got to pray. That's what's going to end up happening, because when the one team has 5 minutes left, they can score. This is a tie the game. If we can just tie the game and go into a shootout, you have a chance of winning the game. This is exactly what this is. This became a game. I'm talking about all these illegals. Okay, you know, Australia just won, and, you know, all the Australian women, 90% of the Australian women, they just beat France in the World Cup. They brought their kids out. They had all these little kids, blonde-haired little kids, who looked really nice. And Sweden did that, too, when they beat Japan the other day. A lot of the Swedish girls had their babies with them, the women players. The United States soccer team, they didn't have no kids because most of them were all lesbians. They killed they ended their gene pool. The gene pools ended. The gene pools ended with all these white trash lesbians on the United States soccer team. I guess there's a couple that have kids, but most of them are lesbians. But now I want to go back to the immigration situation, Paul. I ain't got much time. I got to load like a machine gun now because, listen, what's going on? These people are not coming here to compliment. They're coming to your lunch, take your job, kick you out of jobs that you used to pay $30 an hour in labor, block masonry or plumbing. These people will come and do it for $10 an hour. So where's the compliment?
I know. It's the same here as well.
Yeah. And you know what? We got to look at these Zionist Jews like in Europe. You look at Barbara Spector. You know how you end a lot of this stuff? You take people like out her and you prove that she's tried to wipe out the white Caucasians, the white race, and then you prosecute her to the fullest extent of the law. Because that's what these Zionists are doing. This is genocide. They're trying to do genocide on the white populations of the world. No doubt about it.
When people are hungry, then they might think, well, what have I got to lose about worrying about being polite about the Jewish thing? But until then, I just think that, you know, you can hit people with facts about Jews all day long, and the Jewish media will come out and say it's anti-Semitism and it's a Jewish conspiracy, because that's all they've got. These are anti-Semitic tropes about, you know, Jewish conspiracy, because look at the laws in Florida. I mean, they basically outlaw any criticism of Jews. It doesn't even allow for a conversation.
Well, that's why DeSantis is not going to be the president, because DeSantis blew it with me on that. But that's why
he's a slippery little scumbag. And by the way, what he said about the war in Ukraine when he was talking to Tucker Carlson, he said all the right things, and about a week later, he probably didn't think as many people were listening, but he backtracked and everything he said.
said. So
he's taking his
marching orders from Israel. Of course. All right, Tom, thank you for calling. All right, I'll be back again next Saturday, 19th. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for everyone that called, and hope you enjoyed the show. Thank you, Frank, for producing the show. Until next week, take care, and God bless you all.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.